Hebrews chapter 11. We're going through Hebrews chapter 11 here on Sunday mornings, so we invite you to turn in your Bibles there. Wonderful chapter in the scripture. Very encouraging, highly motivating. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this time in your word. You're a God who wants to do big things, big, powerful things. You have big plans. And so as your people, we need to have big faith. Lord, I pray that you would give us big faith. You would do amazing things through our lives. Thank you for the wonderful example this morning in Abraham. Bless this time, I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Father Abraham is the next champion of faith on our list this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. Father Abraham, one of the most well-known religious figures in all of history. Did you know that the three main world religions all honor Abraham? The Jews honor Abraham. The Muslims honor Abraham. And certainly as Christians, we honor Abraham. He is an amazing example of faith for us. When we first meet Abraham in the scripture, it's in Genesis chapter 11, and he's living in a city called Ur of the Chaldeans, right on the Euphrates River, right in what is now southern Iraq. And Ur was a massive, highly advanced ancient city. Historians estimate that it probably held a population of 100,000 people, some say even as high as 250,000 people. All the conveniences of city life. They had extensive harbor facilities on that Euphrates River, which made them a trade powerhouse. They were very wealthy. It boasted an elaborate system of writing, sophisticated mathematical calculations, educational facilities, extensive business and religious records. Many of the houses in the city of Ur were two or three stories high, built around very pleasant courtyards. That's pretty awesome digs for 2000 BC, right? Abraham was born there, grew up there, and he was living there at the age of 75 years old with his wife Sarah. They had no children, but they had a household full of servants. They were extremely connected in their community. They enjoyed the support of family, relatives, parents, siblings, nephews, nieces. This is all that Abraham ever knew, and he had so much, everything that he possibly could have wanted in Ur. We also know that Ur of the Chaldeans was a dark city. It was a pagan city. Everyone in the city was an idol worshiper. In fact, we found evidence of human sacrifice in their ritualistic worship of false gods and false idols. Everyone in that city existed within the bonds of paganism. And Abraham and his family, no doubt, grew up as idol worshipers. Immersed in that culture, that's all they ever knew. Now, Abraham could have lived the rest of his life in that city, never to be heard of. But that was not to be. In God's grace, God revealed himself to Abraham. God gave Abraham this astounding promise. In Genesis chapter 12, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you, Abram, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all you, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What an amazing promise. Now, why did God reveal himself to Abraham? Why did God make that promise to Abraham? Well, it's an amazing story of God's grace. But I personally believe that Abram, at the age of 75, became a seeker. I believe that at the age of 75, he got fed up with the monotony of everyday life in Ur. I think he was completely dissatisfied with the stuff of Ur. And I think he found absolutely zero meaning in his religion and the idols that he grew up worshiping. I think Abram was looking for something real, something of substance, something that was true. Perhaps one night he looked up into the starry sky and said, "Is there something real? Is there a real God? And if there is, show yourself to me." See, I believe the Bible clearly teaches if you really, genuinely want to know the truth, if you want to know the real God, he will reveal himself to you. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds." Jeremiah 33, God says, "Call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Jeremiah 29, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." I think just that the smallest step, movement towards God, he'll reveal himself. I've told you before, my dad's whole life was changed. His whole conversion to Christianity experience changed with this prayer that he prayed one night. "God, if you're real, show yourself to me." And God did amazing things in my dad's life, and it was forever changed. I think something like that was going on with Abraham. The disgusted pagan idol worship, disgusted with everything, looking for the real thing. And God gave him this incredible promise. Now, this required a humongous step of obedience. In order to enter into that promise, God commanded Abraham to do something incredible. Leave Ur. Leave his home. Leave everything that he knew. Leave family, friends, community. Leave the security of his father's house. God commanded Abraham to follow him into the great unknown. And you know what? Abraham did it. Look what we read in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And check this out, he went out not knowing where he was going." So, Abraham left Ur. He left his culture. He left his community. He left his religion. He left all the conveniences of city life. He left all of his family members, most of his family members, all of his acquaintances, all of his friends, all of the people that he grew up with. And understand, God was taking Abraham 1,000 miles away. So you understand, when Abraham said goodbye to everybody in Ur, it was forever. They didn't have cell phones back then, right? No email. He left. And that detail at the end of verse 8 is so mind-boggling. He went out not knowing where he was going. Who in their right mind packs up everything they own, leaves everything behind, to follow God into the great unknown, destination unknown? Who does that? A man of faith. A woman of faith. Abraham did that. You know, it's almost like God basically said to Abraham, trust me with your life, put me first place, leave everything behind, I'll take care of you, and I'll take you where you need to be. And Abraham said, yes, I'll follow you. I'll follow you into the adventure that you have for me. I'll leave everything behind. You know, I am certain that people thought he was nuts. Can you hear everybody in his life trying to talk him out of it? What are you, crazy, Abraham? But he did it. And I will say this, you are never more sane than when you are following God's will for your life. You are never more blessed. It is never more exciting than when you are following God's plan for your life. Wiersbe said, the safest place in all the world is in the will of God. Do you believe that? George MacDonald said, to will the will of God in himself and for himself and concerning himself is the highest possible condition of a man. May look crazy to other people, but to follow God, to take a step of obedience by faith, huge payoffs. Abraham was required to make that step of faith to enter into those promises. He doesn't take that step of faith, he doesn't get those promises. God will pick someone else. But Abraham went. You know, I want to challenge you, my brother and sister in Christ. I believe that the Lord is saying to each one of us here this morning, trust me with your life. Follow me. Put me first. Let me lead you. Have you surrendered your life to the Lord as a Christian man or woman? In fact, let me ask it this way. When was the last time you took a step of faith into the great unknown? Following God. Perhaps that is what God is calling all of us to do right now in this generation. Believe big. Be stretched. Let God lead us into outside of our comfort zones. You know, perhaps God is calling you to do something completely different with your life, to change it all up. Would you do it? Would you follow him? Perhaps the Lord is calling you to become way, way more involved in ministry than you currently are. And you say, well, I'm afraid of ministry. Well, it's an unknown to me. But would God be calling you? Perhaps God's calling you to pioneer a brand new ministry. Perhaps God is calling you to leave behind the dead religious system of your past. and enter into a joyful, real, genuine relationship with the living God. Perhaps God is calling you to leave behind that group of friends that keeps you from living godly, and calling you to invest in a new group of friends that will help you to live more godly and follow Christ. What is God calling you to do? What would you follow him to do? Okay, I've been a Christian almost all my life, and I've been a pastor for some 25 years, and I will tell you this. The most amazing things I've ever experienced in my life came from doing something that required a step of faith. Obedience. Something that I was uncomfortable. I remember this like yesterday. I remember my hands trembling as I walked into my boss's office in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and gave my resignation because I believed that God had told me to pack up all my belongings and bring Kim and I to El Paso to plant a church. I remember how they trembled. I also remember how exciting it was. How amazing the thought of that was. I'll never forget the day we signed contracts with a radio production company and KELP to have our Summons radio broadcast play Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 6, drive time, prime time. You realize we did that when we were a small church, and we in no way had any money to fund that. Any businessman would have said, you're crazy, don't even touch it. But we did. And here, some 21 years later, we've never missed a payment. And in fact, the Summons radio broadcast is mostly completely funded by the listening audience. And the Lord has used that, I can't even tell you, in tremendous ways, these big steps of faith. I can't tell you how many times where God has told me to reach out to someone, to go talk to someone, and you're thinking, oh yeah, right. Am I really hearing? But you take that step of faith, and God uses you to lead that person to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. God has big plans. He's still doing amazing things through men and women of faith. I'm a board member for CEF, that's Child Evangelism Fellowship. It's one of the biggest children's ministries in all of the world. God uses CEF to minister to kids all over the world. And we had our fundraising dinner this Friday night. And we heard of great miracles. We had a keynote speaker. And he told us about three Afghanistan CEF missionaries that were stuck in Afghanistan. They were stuck. They couldn't get out. And then the bomb hit. Remember when the bomb hit? And it even got more crazy. Somehow through miracles and through steps of faith and connections, these three Afghan missionaries and their families were able to get out. Now, they had to hide in a sewage canal for 4 hours, like in the sewage. But they made it out. Guess where they landed? Dona Ana. These three CEF missionaries landed in the camp right there in Dona Ana. And somehow a regional CEF director found out about it, was able to get in touch with them, asked them what they needed, and they said brand new clothes, for sure. But they also wanted Bibles. And tracts. Very difficult to get Bibles and tracts into an Afghanistan refugee. Very difficult. But this guy said, I'm supposed to bring it, and he went by faith. And he went to the front gates, and they asked for all his credentials. He didn't have any credentials. And he said, well, who sent you? And he said, Jesus sent me. And by faith and by the miracle of God, Bibles and tracts made it into the hands of those refugees. and they're preaching the gospel right now. This guy goes on to tell about how it's very difficult to get Christian literature and Bibles in. They got 10,000 refugees here in El Paso. Did you know that? Well, it turns out by faith, they've been able to produce 16,000 gospel tracts in the Farsi language. And these tracts, no kidding, tell the story of Abraham and his act of faith. And it's related to the Christian gospel. It's absolutely amazing. We found out about a very wealthy businessman here in El Paso who is using his wealth to begin paying for the room and board and full-time support of a Farsi-speaking pastor who will be ministering to the refugees in that camp. I'll tell you what, pinged my heart. I'll admit to you, I've been a little afraid of Afghani refugees. Been like, uh-oh, what about having those? What about this? What about Jesus wanting to touch the hearts of them? Where's the church? Will we get over our fears? Do we believe that God would want to save the Afghani refugees that are located in our city right now? There's a lot of men and women of God who believe so. And they're taking steps by faith. God wants to do big things. God wants to move. Abraham took that step, a huge step. But he took it. Now, I want you to notice what else Abraham did by faith. And to me, this is even more impressive than this initial decision that he made. Look at verse 9, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, this is absolutely amazing. At the age of 75, Abraham left. We know that he died at the age of 175. So he makes this huge sacrifice, packs up everything, leaves, goes 1,000 miles to the promised land at the age of 75. And here we find out that for the rest of his life, the next 100 years of his life, he lived in the promised land as an alien would live in a foreign country. He lived as a tent dweller, a nomad, a Bedouin tribe. Abraham never established a city. There would be no city of Abraham like there was a city of David. He never even established a permanent residence. In fact, the only land Abraham ever owned was a tomb for his wife, Sarah. A cave in a field of Machpelah near Hebron, which he brought from Ephron the Hittite. Never established a residence. Never laid roots down. Never settled. Traveled about in tents for 100 years. And that would continue for several generations. It says he dwelt in tents in verse 9 with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Do you realize that God commanded Abraham to live in the land as a pilgrim, as a stranger, as someone just passing through? And by faith, he did it. And you know what? He was content to do it. Because Abraham, by faith, was living for the future. He wasn't putting all of his stock down here. He was living for the future. I believe Abraham knew that the promises that were made to him by God would be actually realized in future generations. I believe that he knew that the land which he was a pilgrim in would eventually become the property of God's people and the nation in a future generation. I think Abraham knew that his whole existence, his whole step of faith, his whole life was meant to simply get the ball rolling for the future generations. And he was willing to do that. Pilgrims are always willing to sacrifice for the next generation, to leave legacies of faith behind for the next generation. And ultimately, Abraham was looking for his future reward. He was living for heaven. It says in verse 10, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Literally in the Greek, Abraham was looking for the city which had the foundations. The idea being that he was looking for the only city with enduring foundations. There was simply no other. He was looking for the heavenly. He'd seen the impressive cities of earth. He lived in Ur for 75 years. He wasn't wanting another city like that. He was waiting for the heavenly city. You know, there's some impressive cities on planet Earth. New York City is impressive, right? Paris, Los Angeles. I even think El Paso is an impressive city, don't you? The cities of mankind are impressive. But nothing's going to be like the heavenly city. Abraham was living his life waiting for the real payoff, the one that comes later. And he was willing to live as a pilgrim. Now, when I say that he was willing to live as a pilgrim in the land for 100 years, that doesn't mean that he didn't have any interaction with the people in the land. Oh, no. You read the story of Abraham, and God used him in a mighty way in the land. When he came to the land, it was filled with Canaanites, idol worshipers, a wicked, godless people. And the record tells us that little by little, year over year, Abraham became recognized as a mighty man of God and faith in the midst of that pagan community. In fact, he influenced a lot of people. Many people came to God through him. He never had a house. He never had a residency. But boy, did his tribe grow. Lots of people were influenced by him. There's even the story of these armies from the north. They come down south and they attack the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities. And Abraham's Lot was living in one of those cities. And this army invades, defeats them, takes all the people back to their kingdom up in the north and all of the spoils. Abraham finds out about it, puts together a small group of men, and by faith in the living God, they go north. They take everything back that was stolen. People knew Abraham. He made a difference. See, that's what pilgrims do. They're living for heaven, but they are always influencing the people in their generation. They're turning other people in their lives to pilgrims just like them. The tribe expands. What an amazing lifelong example Abraham was. Now, I will tell you, my brother and sister in Christ, I believe that God is calling us to live in this world as pilgrims by faith. And I will tell you, that takes real faith. It really does. Because this is all we see, right? And it's so easy to think that this place is permanent. And we're so busy. By faith, live like a pilgrim. The Bible teaches that we are pilgrims. The Bible teaches that we are literally strangers passing through. That we are aliens living in a foreign country. Do you know the Bible calls our current bodies tents? Tents are temporary. The Bible says that our real home is heaven. Our citizenship is already secured in heaven. We're to see this life as a camp out. A temporary time. And we need to do that by faith. And I'll tell you what, when you do that by faith, you will live life differently. We are not to get tied down with all of the things in this world. We are not to live for all of the things of this world. Now, hear me right. That doesn't mean that we don't make a good living and take care of our families, but that's not the main reason we are here. We are here to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We are pilgrims. We send treasures ahead. We look to make an impact in people's lives for all of eternity. We're just passing through. Do you believe that? Will you live by faith? By the way, I believe as pilgrims, we live better lives. Not only are we campers, we're happy campers, right? You know, there are people that spend their whole life looking for meaning and joy and purpose and satisfaction and the things that this world has to offer, and they chase after every toy, every relationship, every experience that they can. They don't find satisfaction. But I'll tell you what, you'll find satisfaction, joy, and purpose in knowing Jesus Christ, in following His will for your life. And you know what? It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the effort. It's worth the sweat. Because our homecoming is great. The city that's coming. The joy that awaits. Abraham, can you imagine his entrance into heaven? Just after the turn of the 20th century, pioneer missionary Henry C. Morrison was returning to New York after 40 years in Africa. Here's a man who spent 40 years of his life serving as a missionary in Africa. Talk about living like a pilgrim. That same boat also bore home the wildly popular President Theodore Roosevelt. As they entered New York Harbor, the president was greeted with huge fanfare. No one even noticed Morrison. There's maybe a couple people there to greet him at the dock. And you know what? He felt a little dejected. Said, I've been a missionary in Africa for 40 years. But then a small voice came to Morrison saying, Henry, you're not home yet. And that voice was right. For God had prepared a city for far greater than the Big Apple for Henry Morrison. God says, I'm the God of Henry C. Morrison. And here, Henry, here are the keys to my city. All the sacrifice, the suffering is worth it. The rewards are greater there than they are here. Will we follow God into the great unknown? Will we live like pilgrims? will we make our lives really count? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, the example of Abraham blows our minds. What he did to leave everything he knew and then to live for 100 years as a pilgrim. Father, we want to make our lives count. I pray, Lord, that as your people, we would be fully surrendered to you. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you, I mean, if you're a Christian here this morning, what has the Lord spoken to you? Do you need to reevaluate your life and priorities? You got too many things just happening here? What about heaven? What about eternity? What about making a difference in people's lives for eternity? I want to invite you to surrender, even if it looks hard and scary, even if it's confusing. Following God always, always results in blessing. It's an adventure. It won't always be easy, but boy, what an adventure. I would invite you to return to him this morning, to surrender your life to him fully. Man, if the Lord has been telling you to do something for a long time and you haven't done it yet, well, do it. Get on it. Then I also want to pray for anyone here this morning, your heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe God is revealing himself to you. Maybe you've been seeking him. You've truly been seeking him. You've been trying to find satisfaction in other things, but no, you're not finding it. And you're ready to leave behind that old meaningless religion. You're ready to leave behind bad company if need be. You're ready. You're ready to know that you're saved. If that's you, I want you to know that God loves you. He made you and he loves you. The scripture teaches that we've all sinned. We've fallen short from the glory of God. That's why there's so much tragedy in life. That's why there's death in life. But God loves us so much that he made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. He sent his son Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, to come and die on the cross for our sins and rise again the third day. And scripture says, if you will place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be forgiven. You will become brand new. If you've never received him, I'd like to invite you right now by faith, right there where you're sitting, in the quietness of your heart, cry out to the Lord. Right now I'm seeking you, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. I open my heart to you. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and rising again that third day. Wash away all my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me a citizen of heaven right now. And then help me to live for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.